Hi, this is Mimi Sheraton, author of 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die, and you are listening to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm Carrie Diamond, editorial director of Cherry Bomb, the indie magazine about women and food. Since June is Immigrant Heritage Month, we're talking about immigration today and how food can be a gateway for appreciating other cultures. First, let's thank our sponsor, Le Cordon Bleu, the legendary culinary school with locations around the globe. We've got a great sweepstakes going on with Le Cordon Bleu right now. You could win culinary classes in Paris, London, or Ottawa, plus airfare, hotel, and a little spending money. Visit cherrybomb.com to enter. One of today's guests, Jessamine Rodriguez, has emerged as one of the most important women in the food world. She will no doubt be embarrassed by me saying that. She is the founder of Hot Bread Kitchen, the nonprofit social enterprise based in New York that creates economic opportunity through careers in food. Jessamine has made it her life's work to support immigrant women and other entrepreneurs in the food space. Joining her is Renee Beaumont, the founder of Radical Mindset and a partner at Generation Investment Management, a firm that focuses on sustainable capitalism. That sounds like a good form of capitalism. I should note that both of these women are Canadians, which is why they're so damn nice. The two have joined forces to raise money for the Hot Bread Kitchen Scholarship Fund, and we're very pleased to be talking to them today. Jessamine and Renee, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Carrie. You're so overly gracious.
Oh, hardly. I mean, you have done great things in the food space, and I know a lot of us are just completely humbled seeing what you've done and how Hot Bread Kitchen has grown along the years. And I feel like Cherry Bomb's really privileged because we've been able to sort of watch you and kind of follow behind every step that you take, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we have grown up together. You've watched, but, you know, it created a movement that is so aligned with the reason that I started Hot Bread Kitchen in 2008 that it's been exhilarating to watch.
We have grown up together. I think you spoke at the first or second Jubilee. You've been on the radio a few times. Julia Tertian did your cookbook after you guys. Did you two meet when she did the story that she wrote? That was such a great story, and those photos are still so beautiful.
Still the best photos. If you haven't seen that issue of Cherry Bomb, well, maybe the second or the third, right?
The second, the baking issue with Erin McKenna on the cover.
Mm-hmm. If you haven't gotten that issue, they are the best images that anyone has ever taken of the bakers at Hot Bread Kitchen with the breads that inspire them. So Hot Bread Kitchen is about helping women who know how to bake get good jobs in the baking industry by really leveraging the talent they have. And they're such honest portraits of women from around the world with the breads that they have learned to bake or that they've taught us to bake. So it's a beautiful piece. And through that, yeah, I met Julia and we worked on the cookbook together, so all in the family.
And you're in our cookbook, which comes out in October, which is very exciting. You gave us a recipe for brisket.
the meatiest, greasiest food I could think of, because I wanted to make sure that I was representing the, you know, my Jewish cooking heritage. So really oniony, greasy brisket. And I think apropos to this conversation, through Cherry Bomb, I've met all sorts of amazing and wonderful people, including Renee. So Renee and I met at the Jubilee Marketplace, which we were so excited to participate in the inaugural one this year. And Renee walked by. My colleague and I were hawking bread and telling the story of Hot Bread Kitchen and selling product to all the wonderful Jubileers. And Renee walked up in the best T-shirt I had ever seen, and so I immediately knew I had a partner in crime.
Renee happens to be wearing that T-shirt right now. Renee, what does your T-shirt say?
My T-shirt says, "I am an immigrant,"
and you can go to our Instagram account, Cherry Bomb Mag, to see a picture of Renee and some other folks in that T-shirt. tell us what happened when you two met at Jubilee. Renee, you have to talk a little. Tell us. Okay. Tell us what happened that day.
I guess you have to talk when you're on radio, huh?
It helps.
Yeah, no, we ran into each other and she commented on my t-shirt. And then we quickly discovered they were both Canadian, which is a bonding experience here in New York. And there's typically 1 degree of separation from all Canadians here in New York. And I love what they're doing. And I can't remember, Jasmine, what you fed me that day, but there was this flatbread with kale in it, and it was really tasty. And every time I go to the market now, I buy it. It's absolutely amazing.
Wait, let me stop you. What was that bread, Jessamine?
I imagine it was the emsemen. I think it was the kale stuffed emsemen, since we were just talking about kale before we started taping. I think it's a Moroccan flatbread that we make that has, you know, become one of our best selling bread. And once you've tasted it, you love it.
Yeah, that was exactly what it was. And if you have not tried it, please try it, because it's absolutely delicious.
And the bread, I think, for us is incredibly emblematic, because it's a bread that was brought to us by a Moroccan baker who had, you know, learned to make it from her mother. And now we have kind of breducated many, many New Yorkers about the importance of the important contribution on the cultural scape of New York City through their food. So I love the emsemen because it really tells the story of what we're trying to do at Hot Bread Kitchen.
Jessamine, I have, in all the conversations we've had, you've never used the word breducation. Is that a new word in your vocabulary?
It is an old pun that I can't believe I haven't pulled out for you, Carrie.
I know we're going to jump around a lot today because there are lots of pieces to your relationship and the story of Hot Bread Kitchen. But so you two meet, you fall in love over some bread, and what happened next?
Basically, we had a little bonding experience, and because the Jubilee was very busy, we kind of moved on, but we swapped cards. And then I reached out to her, because I read more about, quite candidly, I didn't know the story. And so I read more about it and just thought, what a spectacular story. And it represented a lot of what I was trying to do with the t-shirts. And so I reached out to her to see if we could figure out some kind of partnership. And lo and behold, June is Immigrant Heritage Month, and we started with that.
So you're doing a scholarship project. Can you tell us about the project? Am I wrong?
Yes.
Yes, I'm right.
That's absolutely right.
Renee made it. You are not here with us, Jessamine, but Renee made a face at me, and I was like, oh my God, I got all that wrong. But no, go ahead.
So you got that completely right. So Hot Bread Kitchen is a nonprofit organization. We sell bread to help women get better jobs in the culinary industry, but the bread sales don't cover it. And so an important part of the work we do is really, raising money philanthropically to help women do important things like learn English, learn kitchen math, get job ready, so that when they graduate out into the workplace, they're ready to climb up the management, get management jobs in bakeries all around the city. And so Renee had this really exciting idea, which we love, to really highlight the work that we do around immigration advocacy and raise a little bit of money for the work that we do. So for every $100 donated, you get a cool I Am an Immigrant t-shirt.
In English or in Spanish, your choice. Sorry to interrupt, Jasmine.
Yo soy un inmigrante, or I am an immigrant. I haven't been photographed in mine yet, but I'm really like, I don't know which one to wear. I don't know which one is more politically impactful, but Renee, you can advise me on that. we're really excited about the partnership and the opportunity to highlight this great idea during Immigrant Heritage Month.
So the goal is $2,000, and Renee, you'll be matching that.
Yes.
For a grand total of $4,000, and that is enough to support 4 women in Heritage's job training program in mixing, shaping, and baking bread in June, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. We're going to put the shirt, we'll put a bunch of different people wearing the shirt on our Instagram so everybody can see what it's about. I mean, it's a pretty modest goal that you set. I hope that we can help you hit or perhaps even surpass that goal.
Well, that's not what it takes for us to educate people, and that's the amount that we're matching with Renee. But obviously, beyond that, it all continues to support the work that we do. So it is, you know, very, very, very important.
So it's kind of funny that you two cross paths, because Jessamine, I always remember you telling the story of how Hot Bread Kitchen came to be. You heard the word baking And someone had actually said the word banking. And Renee's got a long career in banking, and now you guys have come together. So can you tell us that story?
In New York. Yeah, so the story goes that I was a passionate foodie, but did not know that I was going to have a career in food. So I was interviewing for a job at Women's World Banking, which is a micro bank that focuses on women in the third world, helping them get their businesses off the ground. And I was telling someone about it, and he heard Women's World Baking. And that slip of the tongue, for me, brought up this image of women from around the world baking the wonderful breads that they make. And almost, well, I guess a decade later, you know, you can come in here in East Harlem and see it live and alive and in person. It's a really exhilarating feeling.
And that is the essence of what Hot Bread Kitchen is all about. It is women from other countries cooking their native breads, and you are selling those breads. How did the concept develop from just that slip of the tongue to what it's become?
I mean, that's a long story of how it all kind of came together. You know, a lot of passion, a lot of hard work, and a lot of, I think, you know, to be a successful entrepreneur, you really have to, I've been willing to change course and change the work that we do. So I guess the short answer to it is I had one image when I heard Women's World Baking, and some days when I walk into the bakery, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is exactly what I thought it would be. And other days I walk in and I, you know, it doesn't look anything like I thought it would. You know, we've had to be kind of willing to shift and think differently about how and what we do to get it off the ground. We now, a big part of what we do is really around supporting food entrepreneurs. So we run a culinary incubator as well. So we run the Bakers in Training Program and HBK Incubates, which is a culinary incubator for food entrepreneurs. And in that program, we have 75 food businesses, some of which have been featured through Cherry Bomb, that produce out of our space, making different products that they sell around the world, around the city and beyond.
Can you tell us about a few of your success stories from HBK Incubates?
Yeah, so I mean, one of them is definitely in the Cherry Bomb family, and we love her because she really exemplifies what the incubator does. But Hawa from Bath Bath Sauces, who I think has been in the cookbook, and I've definitely seen her on your Instagram, spent a lot of time here in the incubator, really honing in on her idea for hot sauces. She's a refugee from Somalia who really wanted to bring her delicious and unique kind of flavor profiles from her home country to market. So she came here, and I mean, she had everything she needed to be successful, but we provided some of the technical assistance around how to grow and plan for her business growth. And she was, you know, for us, a great success in the incubator program. Another woman that I would, you know, I think is definitely next to come in the Cherry Bomb family is there's an Ecuadorian caterer called Delicias de Fanny. Fanny is an entrepreneur that has grown an Ecuadorian catering company. She makes the most delicious pernil and other Ecuadorian specialties out of the kitchen, and caters generally like quinceañeras and weddings and other Ecuadorian events. But her food and the talent that she exhibits and the passion around culinary arts is exactly the kind of entrepreneur that we can best support in the incubator.
Oh, we have to meet her. Maybe we can do some kind of event down the line.
Yes. She would be such a great caterer for you guys. I'll follow up with an email because okay. I'd love to think about how.
That would be a lot of fun. And Hawa, who you talked about from Boss Boss, I mean, we just love her to bits and pieces, and her sauces are incredible. She's got these two sauces, a date tamarind sauce, and then a cilantro chutney. And we are, I don't know what she puts in them, but we are completely obsessed with them. And she did tell me at one point the date tamarind sauce is like the ketchup of Somalia. And I understand it. And if you have not tried her products, you can get them via mail order. Just find Boss Boss Sauce online. And
order them. If you don't like them, I will refund your money. How's that for a guarantee?
That's a ringing endorsement.
Right? Well, it's true.
That's
true.
Awesome.
Speaking of other delicious things, Jessamine, can you tell us some of the signature breads that you sell at retail?
Some of the signature breads that we have, my favorite new bread is a pitaya, which is a Mexican sweet bread, like a pan dulce. And it's almost like a donut without a hole. It's a really buttery bread that's amazing, dipped in coffees. And that was brought to us by a baker who's featured in the Hot Bread Kitchen cookbook, actually, named Olga, who's an amazing chef, but really is kind of sweet and buttery and delicious. And is one of our newer kind of ethnic breads. We really do have two lines. We do the normal bakery lines of baguettes and sourdoughs and all of those kinds of things. But the ethnic breads are the breads that I'm most excited about, that are kind of, I think, a little bit unique and really help to tell the story of the work that we're trying to do.
And where can people find those breads?
So all of our breads are available online. I highly recommend the Global Bread Box, so on the Hot Bread Kitchen website, or you can get it through Gold Belly. And it's really a selection of all of our ethnic flatbreads is really delicious. All of the Whole Foods in the Northeast region carry our product. And then if you're in New York City, the best place to get a full line of our products is through the New York City Green Market. So you can look online, but we're in Union Square a few days a week. And 13 other markets throughout the city.
Wherever you live in the U.S., you can get the bread delivered to you, right?
Exactly, okay. Exactly. Renee, I'm sorry to say that we can't ship to Canada yet, or it's ridiculously expensive with the shipping. But if you buy online, we can ship nationally. And I think the most important thing to mention with that is that all of your bread purchases support the training program. So without the importance, you know, our largest revenue stream is customer bread sales. And without that, we wouldn't be able to do the high quality training that we provide. And that is really, really essential, you know.
And you do job placement. How many, do you have any idea how many women you've placed at this point in different jobs?
Yeah, I think we've trained over 160 women from 38 countries from around the world. And we have placed bakers at almost, if you buy artisan bread in New York City, the chances are that it is made by a graduate of Hot Bread Kitchen. So we have bakers at Amy's Breads and Maison Kaiser and Italy and Zaro's and Pan Quotidien and, you know, Arcade Bakery and really all over the city. The program is really bring women in, give an intensive 6-month training program. And women who graduate are placed into a great living wage job that is full-time with benefits. And for the women that graduate, it represents a 300% wage boost. So most women are coming in underemployed or unemployed and are landing in full-time jobs with benefits.
That's incredible.
It's amazing.
You know, since the subject today is immigrants, and we're talking about women immigrants in particular, how have things changed over the past few months for you at Hot Bread Kitchen and for the people you work with, given the political climate right now?
What I would say is that the women who work at Hot Bread Kitchen, I think if you are an immigrant to this country, in the best case, you constantly feel like in a situation and on unsure footing. And then since the, when Trump was elected, I remember coming into work and seeing people kind of, you know, looked at me and I just kept saying, you know, all of the things that we were seeing in the campaign were rhetoric and it's not going to be that bad. Carrie, when I came on and did the show the day after he was elected, I felt like I was the voice that was like, it can't be as bad as he's going to say. We're going to be okay, everybody. You know, it was just rhetoric. And the fact that, you know, within, you know, 6 weeks, ICE was doing raids in Queens, in areas where they had never seen that before, you know, I was eating those words, and the real direct impact on the women that are through the training program is just a heightened sense of insecurity and fear. Now, everybody that goes through our training program has work authorization, so they're either refugees or green card holders, but most of them are in communities where there are a lot of undocumented immigrants. So the work that we're doing here at Hot Bread Kitchen and the message that we're sending is, you need to be the conduits in your community of good information and help those of you that are more, you know, around you that are more vulnerable figure out, you know their rights and know what to do. Been very excited about the idea of really helping people naturalize, because many people, you know, felt, you know, in under previous administrations, a green card felt great and that was enough to make people secure in their place here. But many of the women that work for us are green card holders and are vulnerable for, you know, small for misdemeanors to, you know, getting into the criminal system, which could land them in deportation. And so what we're messaging is, A, naturalize. B, if you haven't naturalized, don't jump a turnstile. Don't jaywalk. Unfortunately, you know, while, you know, don't be at the front of a protest, because you are more vulnerable now than you were before.
It must be terrifying, you know, especially English is not their first language. I would imagine that's just an added level of scariness for them, you know, not entirely understanding things. Like a friend of mine told me that her child's school sent a letter home about what to do if ICE comes to the school.
Wow.
And I mean that, it's so hard to just fathom that these are the times we live in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that it could change so quickly, right? I mean, I guess the only, because I'm always the optimist, I'm like the consummate entrepreneur, that I can only hope that it can change back as quickly, right? Like that I never would have anticipated the fast ripple that has kind of gone out among immigrant communities. Yeah. And the only thing I can hope is that, you know, we can work through this politically. And in the next 4 years, you know, we'll end back up on planet Earth in the United States of America.
Well, I do think this is not a silver lining, but if there are no silver linings to any of this, but one of the positive things to come out of this, I think, is all the conversation about immigrants and immigration and immigrants' rights. And it's really something that the restaurant and food industries have just not talked about enough, because this industry is built on the backs of immigrants. That is 100% the reality. And nobody has the answers to all of this right now, but at least we are talking about it and starting to show more appreciation for the people who make our food, serve our food, pick our food, etc.
Well, I mean, the reality is that's one of the reasons I started the t-shirt company in the first place. Is because this entire country was built on the back of immigrants, founded by immigrants. And the fact that it's somehow become a bad word now is just crazy to me. And so when I originally made the t-shirts, it was because a handful of friends of mine are immigrants. We made them. And then people were reacting to them in such a positive way. So we're like, how do I buy them? I'm like, I have absolutely no idea how you buy them.
So go back a step. You made these t-shirts for yeah. yourself for the yeah. Women's March.
Yeah. So I made them for myself, and a bunch of my friends are immigrants. And the reality is, I mean, to some of the points you're talking about, Carrie, is, you know, I am blonde-ish, I suppose, blue-eyed, and I don't
You are a blonde.
Okay, I'm a blonde, with a little help from my chemical friends. And I don't get judged for being an immigrant. And so there is a lot of fear in the communities that do get judged for being an immigrant. And I think it's really important. And when I started this, this wasn't about making a political statement. It was about standing up for people that don't necessarily have the capability or are afraid to stand up for themselves right now. And so that was the genesis of it. Made some for my friends. More people wanted them. So I made some more. And then eventually a good friend of ours, Laura Brown, said, build a website. So I took 3 days off work, learned how to build a website, and built a website. And now you can buy them online.
Laura being the editor-in-chief of InStyle magazine, I should out our relationship. Renee and I have been very good friends for a long time.
Yes.
And you made those t-shirts and people literally were just stopping you on the street.
Yeah. And particularly, it's really interesting. Jessamyn, you were asking at the beginning whether you should wear the English or Spanish. I find the reaction when I wear the Spanish, I will have people like yell at me from across the street or on the sidewalk and yell at me, love your t-shirt. So am I. That's awesome. So yeah, but it's been a nice reaction, I have to say.
Now you are not profiting from these t-shirts.
I know.
In any way, shape or form, just so people know that you're probably losing lots of money on these t-shirts.
At this point I am. Yes.
And right now they're benefiting Hot Bread Kitchen, yes, which is amazing. But when you launched it, who was benefiting?
Yeah, all the profits go to the ACLU as part of this thing. So they, yeah, there's zero money going into my pocket as part of this. But the whole goal, and you know, over time, you know, hopefully we can team up with Hot Bread again. But loving to team up with people that need help or funding, because that's part of this. This isn't about making money; it's about trying to make a difference.
On that note, we are going to take a short break and hear from our sponsor, Le Cordon Bleu, and we will be right back with Jessamine and Renee. Le Cordon Bleu, the renowned culinary school, was founded in Paris 122 years ago by a young journalist named Mademoiselle de Stael. In 1895, she launched the first weekly culinary magazine called La Cuisinière Le Cordon Bleu. She invited subscribers to take part in free cooking lessons with the chefs featured in her magazine, and from there, the school was born. In the years since, Le Cordon Bleu's world-class instructors have taught French classical culinary techniques to everyone from home enthusiasts to food world legends. If you've ever dreamed of attending culinary school, maybe it's time to start living that dream. Check out one of Le Cordon Bleu's 35 locations around the world, or add a short vacation or a weekend program at one of its schools to your next vacation. Visit cordonbleu.edu for course descriptions, dates, online registration, and to discover which school is best for you. It's all possible at Le Cordon Bleu. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Radio Cherry Bomb. We're here with Jessamine Rodriguez, the founder of Hot Bread Kitchen, and my friend Renee Beaumont, the founder of Radical Mindset, and someone who's had a very long career in the financial industry. And we are going to get some tips for entrepreneurs from her in a little while. I want to go back to just sort of the times that we're living in right now. And everyone wants to do something and make a difference. And Renee, I think you're a great example of, you know, you have a career and a full-time job, and this is something that you're doing on the side to raise funds for, like we said, ACLU and Hot Bread Kitchen and eventually other organizations. What was the thing that made you decide, you know what, I can spend my weekends packing envelopes and building a website in evenings, right? Just tell us about, you know, how you're making a difference and just the impact on your time and all that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing, I just wanted to do something. And I think, Carrie, you mentioned this a little earlier, is I think one of the good things to come out of what's happening is people just feel the need to take action. And what that looks like for other people is going to be different. But I think the key thing is just find what it is that you care about and what your issue is or what your passion is, and just do something. It doesn't have to be big. But even if you kind of start to change the discourse in some form or another, I think you're helping.
And then, Jessamine, you are doing something on such a major scale. It's sort of unbelievable. And I'm sure, I think you alluded to this earlier, it's just completely expanded beyond what you ever even imagined. What's been the hardest part about this journey that you've been on?
You know, it's a question I get a lot. And to be honest, every day has its own micro challenges, and I feel very fortunate to have had enough big wins to make no single challenge feel insurmountable. So I never know how to answer that question, because then it feels like I'm not admitting to the fact that this is damn hard. And it is, and it has been from, you know, the very beginning. But now I've seen it over, you know, many, you know, I guess 8 years of consistent growth. And the challenges that I know at every stage, every year, every month, there is a kind of a different scale of challenge. And we have been fortunate, you know, I am very fortunate to have a really strong team behind me, and it gets stronger every day. That somehow we figure it out. And, you know, I think it has surpassed my vision, and my vision has become more ambitious. And so I see, you know, I want you guys both to come to graduation and see what it feels like to see women who are, you know, are surpassing their own expectations of what they can achieve. You know, women graduate into great jobs, and they're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to get paid for vacation. And I'm like, yeah, that should be the bar from which we begin. And, you know, I want to see you in 10 years, you know, with a job that's going to prepare you for retirement and, you know, give you enough time to spend with your family. But when I come to graduation and celebrate those successes, what I recognize and what keeps me awake, because I'm like voracious entrepreneur, is how I can do this on a larger scale, right? So now the challenges that I'm facing are like, okay, now how do I get this to, you know, 1,000 women a year and then beyond? How do I do this in New York better? And then how do I do this nationally? And then how do I take what we have learned about, you know, empowerment of women and advocacy for immigrant communities and take it to other parts of the world where similar struggles, and increasingly so, you know, the discourse around immigrants and difference is getting increasingly negative and scary, right? So while I feel incredibly accomplished in what I've achieved, when I think of the scope of the problem, I'm humbled by the challenges ahead of me. So, you know, the only thing we can do is continue to grow and do more of the work that we do.
But that has to be so daunting for you. I mean, how many kids do you have now? Do you have one or two?
Two children?
You have two children.
I have two children, and both of them are you know, Hopper Kitchen babies. I started it before I had kids, and, you know, both of them grew up in the Hot Bread Kitchen family. They have, you know, 150 aunties who love them. And so it's just a very interesting way to grow up as a kid, you know, and always, like, surrounded by great bread. And, you know, my work style and the, you know, the amount of detail that I can carry at Hopper Kitchen has changed as each of my with each of my kids, and as they've grown up and become more demanding, because I actually believe that it gets harder as your kids get older in some ways to be a working mom. And so I'm fortunate that the organization has grown at the same pace, so that the nature of the work that I do here has changed. And so I used to be, there was a day when I did my own deliveries, and I'm sure as many entrepreneurs are listening can identify with, there's been a day when I packed all of the bread and I did all the deliveries and I was the head baker and I did all of the baking training and I wrote every grant report and I did every speaking engagement and I did all of it. But the nice thing is that now I, you know, have a staff of 75 people, and the kind of work that I do is different in nature, which gives me more flexibility and at least bandwidth to spend with my family.
You have 75 employees now? That's incredible.
Yeah.
I really am in awe of what they've done. I really am in awe of you, Jessamyn. I think it's amazing.
And, you know, Jessamyn, I'm just so blown away by everything you do. And it's kind of funny, when we were working on Jubilee this year and we decided to add the marketplace, you've always been a part of Jubilee. And I couldn't conceive of doing another Jubilee and not having Hot Bread Kitchen be part of it. But at the same time, I was like, there's only one Jessamyn, and you're so unique in this industry and what you're doing. And I know everyone, you know, wants your time and wants a little bit and piece of what you do, that I almost felt guilty asking you. But then at the same time, I was like, well, then if Jessamyn like looks at the lineup and sees, oh, great, they didn't ask me to be part of it this year, what's going on? So I was like, let me just ask her. She's a big girl. She can always say no.
It's about picking and choosing, and you do the things that are important to you. You know what I mean? And the relationships that matter. And frankly, you guys are a class act and you always deliver on what you're going to say you do. And that's not true for everybody in the industry. So Carrie, when you call, I take the call, and I have a great team when I can't take the call that I'm confident will execute almost that actually surpass my expectations of what we can do. It's important. It's the most important thing. And you guys do a great job and have thrown us a lot of love over the years, which matters a lot.
Well, thank you for the kind words right back at you.
And also when you get a room full of like food ladies there, like in the same, when you get a room full of food ladies together, like I feel like I want to be there. That's how I like to spend my Sundays.
We are a committed group of food ladies. That is for sure. You know, since we have Renee here, and I mentioned she's got a long history in the finance world and working with entrepreneurs and startup businesses and all of that, I thought we shouldn't miss the opportunity to get some advice from Renee. I am always tapping Renee for advice. She probably wishes I took more of her advice than I do. I wish I had taken more of Renee's advice than I do. But Renee.
Yes.
We've got a lot of entrepreneurs out there who listen to the show. Why don't give us some basic advice for women entrepreneurs?
Well, the very basic advice, and I think Jessamyn's a perfect, extraordinary example of it, is start. I think that's kind of the biggest thing. If you have an idea, give it a try. And I would say the advice that Carrie, you and I have shared before, in terms of get things in writing. When you're structuring your business and you're starting your business, set it up right. You know, get a friend who's a lawyer, hire an accountant. Just make sure the very framework of it at the beginning is kind of set up properly. That will, I promise you, serve you better later down the road. And I'd say the other thing, and Jessamyn, you mentioned this, which I think is really, really important, is if something's not working, don't be afraid to pivot. Because some of the greatest businesses in the world didn't start off with that exact idea, but part of the whole process is learning. So learning as you make your mistakes and kind of pivoting and not being afraid to do that. Because sometimes we get fixated on what it's supposed to look like, and oftentimes it doesn't end up looking anything like we thought it would at the beginning.
So let's talk about financing businesses. And Jessamyn, you should jump in a minute because you've everyone in your incubator, that's a big, big issue. Yeah. But how do you raise money for your business?
Yeah, I mean, there are a bunch of different ways. I think one of the nice things, I think particularly focusing on women and minorities, is there are actually a lot of governmental programs that a lot of people don't know about. And there's a lot of information online, and you can apply for these as well. So there are grants out there. There's really cheap financing out there for businesses. And they really do like to fund and focus on women and minority-run businesses. So a lot of people just don't know that exists. So that's one thing. And I think in my almost 20 years of being in finance. I feel very old saying that. I think one of the biggest things in noticing the difference kind of in men and women is I remember coming into the office many times and on the weekend, you know, a bunch of the guys that I worked with are like, oh, I invested in my friend's so-and-so business. And women don't typically do that. And so I think just kind of creating a network and a community of sharing what you're doing, asking friends. Because, I mean, I would love to invest in businesses that I think are interesting, and I know a lot of other people out there would, because there's a lot of money out there. But I think one of the, I don't know if it's a mistake, but one of the things that I think men stereotypically do better is kind of create that network and create that community and aren't afraid to share that kind of stuff.
You know who's a good example of that? Jessamyn, I don't know if, do you know Jen Pelka, who has Magnum PR and the Riddler Champagne Bar in San Francisco? She's fantastic. She just opened this champagne bar called The Riddler, and she put together a group of like 30 women and reached out to all of them to invest. I think Ruth Reichel is one of her investors. She wrote a little piece for us in the new issue of Cherry Bomb. We did the special section called She's the Boss, and she did a thing on how to raise money.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just such a brilliant idea, and that's become part of The Riddler's story. You know, it is this wonderful wine bar, 100% supported by women.
I think that's awesome. There's actually this group here in New York that a friend of mine started. Her name is Samantha Katz, and her and I talked about it, but she actually executed, which was very impressive. But we started this group called Invest and Imbibe, which you would like in the cherry bomb world. And the whole point of it really is just to get in, share stories, share. If you have a friend that you think is running an interesting business, you bring her. And again, it's really about creating a community and an opportunity set that typically women haven't historically done.
Now, what if you don't have access to these networks, which is the case for a lot of people?
I think one of the big things, again, just not being afraid to look online, because there really are a ton of government programs. There's New York City programs. There are federally run programs. There are state run programs. And so, I mean, I'm happy if you want to reach out to me. I'm happy to help people with that. But there really is a lot of capital out there. It's trying to figure out how you get access to it. And there are a ton of programs online.
So, Jessamine, how about for your incubatees, yeah. Is that even a word? The people in the incubator program. How do you coach them in this regard?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the incubator program serves all food entrepreneurs, women and men, but 80% of the businesses are female owned, and it helps entrepreneurs who have some sales, but their sales might be really small. So like any, you know, I think we support entrepreneurs that are like $50,000 to $1 million in revenue per year. And so many of them are kind of pre-funding stage. And the nice thing about joining an incubator in a capital intensive industry like food manufacturing is that mainly the capital needs are around the equipment to make your product. And so we are sort of like a proxy for capital in those early years before businesses have really proved concept. Because if you are an entrepreneur that has a, you know, if you're a, you know, have an alternative career and this is something you're doing in your evening and you can stand to lose the money or the social capital of not being able to, you know, have a partnership go bad or not be able to repay a loan, then you can start looking for capital. But more often the people that we're seeing are coming from, you know, are kind of low to moderate income people who really don't have that network and shouldn't be taking on investment before they have the revenues to really support it. And so I always say that successful entrepreneurs know how to spin resources. So it's like before you even go out and start looking for investment, either, you know, debt or equity, have you tapped every possible network opportunity, government program, like Renee said, to ensure that you're not paying for things that you don't need to pay for? And there are, you know, before you even start looking for investment, there are lots of pro bono subsidized opportunities for marketing and legal support. Like, there's a lot of people gunning for small businesses, and we definitely tap people into investment capital. So Acción and Grameen and many of the banks kind of come to us to get the best of our businesses. But before that, what we try to tap entrepreneurs into, and I think small businesses are most successful when they do this effectively, are the free resources that entrepreneurs need to get a business off the ground, prove concept, and get a little bit closer to profitability, which in food is a very hard target to hit.
Jessamine, how can someone apply to be part of the HBK Incubates program?
Yeah, so like I said, we're looking for entrepreneurs with cool food ideas, interesting business plans, different food business models. We love really unique ethnic food products like Bath Bath or Fanny's Catering are great for us. And we serve all five boroughs, and we even have entrepreneurs that come from New Jersey and Westchester. And there is an application online, and so you can come fill out a short questionnaire, come for a tour, see our facilities, and then we have a, you know, not too onerous, but a pretty serious application, and then you'll come in, do interviews, we get to taste your product, and then we accept, you know, on a rolling basis, entrepreneurs into the program. And what we provide, the biggest asset that the incubator has, is access to licensed commercial kitchen space. That's the best thing that we offer. But in addition to that, we have business support in-house. So we have a business advisor. Entrepreneurs in our program tap into all of the kind of know-how on the Hot Bread Kitchen team. So our sales director, our senior director of operations, our communications and marketing people are all on hand to support those businesses. So it's a really kind of cool, comprehensive program for startup entrepreneurs. And access to capital is definitely a conversation that we have. But what we encourage our entrepreneurs to do is, like, put off that as long as you possibly can. Be scrappy as long as you can, as long as you can afford to, as long as it makes sense for your business model before we introduce you to the you know, like Renee said, the many investors that are interested in women-owned businesses and other small businesses.
Scrappy is key.
Scrappy is definitely
in all aspects of life. And Jessamine, how about the Bakers in Training program? How can women apply for that?
So the Bakers in Training program is open to low-income women that live in the five boroughs. Most of the women that we train live in East Harlem, Harlem, and the South Bronx, but we are looking for people that have passion and skill in the culinary arts. It is exclusively for low-income women, so we're looking for women that otherwise would have trouble getting into because they lack the network or the English skills or the education to get jobs in a management track in bakery. And we have monthly intake interviews, and so it's a pretty aggressive application process. Last year, we got 600 applications and accepted 60 women into the training program. So there's definitely a lot of competition because it is a paid training program the entire time that they're in training. And what that means is that the women who need it most, you know, very often, you know, women who, you know, single moms, head of household, many, 50%. Of an incoming cohort recently were women who were housing insecure, so homeless people who were, you know, couch surfing and trying to get their feet on the ground. So because the program is paid, we're able to train the women that need it most. So the best way to apply for that, all of the information is online as well. But we have a little store in the building where we're housed, La Marquesa in East Harlem, and we encourage all applicants to just come to our store and fill out an application and try it out.
And we encourage our listeners to go visit. What are the hours there?
And while you're in East Harlem at La Marquesa, you can buy bread, which is great, and cookbooks and other merchandise. It's open Monday to Friday, so the store isn't actually open on the weekends, because it's sort of a quirky, out-of-the-way place under the Metro North tracks in La Marquesa, but worth seeing.
So plan a visit if you're coming to the city. So all the different ways you can support Hot Bread Kitchen. You can buy the cookbook, which is wonderful. You can go visit them, like Jessamine just talked about. You can order the breads online, and they will ship them to you as long as you live in the United States. Are you still sold at Whole Foods?
Yep, we're at all the Whole Foods, and certain products coming up, you know, in the holiday season will be nationally at Whole Foods with a Stollen and a fruit cake. But in the region, you can get all of, you know, a selection of breads at all the Whole Foods stores.
And then you can also order a Radical Mindset t-shirt. And to make sure the money goes to Hot Bread Kitchen, do they order it through you, Renee, or how do you
take part in that? They should make a donation to Hot Bread Kitchen, then I'll match it and send a t-shirt.
Okay. So go to hotbreadkitchen.org.
Yes.
Make a donation of $100 or more.
Or more.
And you will get a t-shirt.
Correct.
Fantastic.
Yes.
And, you know, I just wanted to add, because we're talking about just ways that you can make a difference. And, you know, sometimes it's hard. You've got kids, you've got a job, you've got two jobs, three jobs, whatever. You can just be really smart about where you spend your money. Mm-hmm. You know, you can buy Hot Bread Kitchen bread. You can support entrepreneurs like Hawa Hassan and her Boss Boss Sauce. And just be really smart about where you spend your dollars and where you spend your time. And even something as small as that can make a difference.
And say how you
I
choose your words.
I completely agree. And on our website, there's a whole list of all of the businesses that are in the incubator program. And, you know, if you've never started and run a small business, you don't know what a difference it means to have your product sell through at Whole Foods. But getting those first reorders and making an effort to support those small businesses so that their product is moving through their retail outlets, I think we have about 9 of our entrepreneurs you can buy at, you know, with Dina DeLuca and Whole Foods and other stores currently, and looking for those products and buying as many as you can and gifting them. Those orders mean the world to these entrepreneurs that are trying to do the difficult work of getting their business off the ground.
So shop smart, ladies. That's the advice for today. So thank you both. I know how busy you both are, so I really appreciate you being on the show, and I appreciate your friendship too. You both are great friends, and I just think the world of both of you and everything that you do.
Right back at you.
Thanks.
Right back at you. Thank you so much, Carrie. You're the best.
Thanks. That's it for today's show. Radio Cherry Bomb was engineered by the one and only Dave Tatasciore. A big thank you to Le Cordon Bleu for supporting Radio Cherry Bomb. Don't forget, we have a great Le Cordon Bleu sweepstakes going on right now. To enter, you can visit cherrybomb.com and click on the banner. You could win a trip to Paris, London, or Ottawa.
Yay,
Canadians.
Ottawa.
You can go to Ottawa, plus culinary classes and spending money. Don't forget, the new issue of Cherry Bomb is out right now. Talked about it earlier. We have our first ever She's the Boss section in there. You can find Cherry Bomb at all Barnes & Nobles across the United States, your favorite indie bookstores and newsstands. And you can also find it on cherrybomb.com. Thank you for listening, everybody. You're the bomb.
I'm Allison Hooper, and I'm co-founder of Vermont Creamery. I'm passionate about cheese, goat cheese, and farming. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. To subscribe or learn more about the magazine, visit cherrybomb.com. You know who I think is the bomb? I adore Lucinda Scala Quinn of Mad Hungry. She is passionate about cooking for her boys. I have three boys, and I love gathering my family around the table.